B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
In Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We can't compromise the health, safety, and well-being of our football team, including our staff. I don't think that's the answer. I don't think that's the way to go. In the long term, I think that's going to be much more detrimental than a short-term adjustment that we have to make in order to maximize everyone's health and safety. So that's our approach. That's the way I look at it. And I know that's the way Mr. Kraft looks at it. And so that's what we're going to continue to do. We'll put the team first, and that's our philosophy.
Okay, it's an agenda-free Friday. Everything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to. That comment from Bill Belichick a week ago Saturday got Maz's wheel spinning. We took it into the take workshop and came up with a take and pretty much pounded the crap out of it all week, and you hated it. Sorry. What are you going to do? I can't take the Patriot ball washing. I just can't take it. I can't take the Bill Belichick is ahead of everybody else and they're doing all the right things when... especially when they're one of the two teams that have forced the league to adjust the schedule, and you have the only quarterback in the league to test positive for COVID. I just can't take the ball washing. So that comment sort of tipped Maz off to a whole sort of take that we'll reset right here. So now it is Ferentz, who's been the guy?
James Ferentz.
Yep. James Ferentz.
Backup center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played center in the last game, correct? Because Tooney moved back to guard in that game.
76 snaps.
That's right.
Yeah, so he played, he played the entirety or a large majority of that game at Kansas City because they had other issues on the line. Remember, who got bumped? Illuminor got bumped right before the game started, right?
Ueno played, right?
Yeah, he went over to the other side, though, so they had to put Tooney back at left guard.
Okay.
So it was just, this is going to cause some shuffling on the line. But I would tell you, I think they can overcome this.
So this was the tip off that the Mr. Kraft comment got Maz thinking, because since when does Bill, invoke what Mr. Kraft is thinking? And it just sort of led to a marriage of convenience that Bill Belichick gets to play the good guy and have his players' best interests in mind and the health and safety of his players and his family in the exact week where they weren't going to have their starting quarterback or their best defensive player. It sort of lined up. Meanwhile, this week, now that I'm thinking about this, what was the report from Schefter the last hour? Everyone wants to play. We're still playing. All the players want to go.
Yep.
Isn't that convenient? Who else is playing this week? Your best offensive and defensive player.
Yeah, Noonan Gilmore back in the operation.
Where's the player boycott? So when you're without your best offensive and defensive player, we're going to give in to the player boycott. When it's just a backup center, ball's in the air at 1:00 Sunday. See you there.
I mean, it's a fair point. Like, I wonder, are the McCourty's going to get back on the phone with the union and the league office or with the owner and say, we don't want to play this week? Is this thing still there?
A little bit different when you have your best offensive and defensive player ready to go. A little harder to bang the game. Or let's just put it this way, a little easier to say we should push this off when you're without your best players. Now that you have your best players, I'm not quite sensing the revolt that I got last week, are you?
No, so look, again, I felt that way from the beginning. As soon as I heard him mention Kraft, I said, oh boy. Like, so what's this, like wash your hands of it? I'm just doing what the owner's telling me to do? And I just don't think that's in Bill's makeup. Bill tries to control everything. All of a sudden it's, get on the phone, call your union. We're not going to play this week.
This is an easy win. We're playing. You're fine. It's just a backup center.
I hate to ruin the fun, but that part of that, the players want to play, is part of a tweet where he starts mentioning the Broncos. Broncos are being told to prepare to play Sunday against the Patriots per source. Players want to play, and the game is on as the NFL gathers more information.
So he's referring to Broncos players there? He didn't quite say that.
He didn't quite.
Period. Players want to play.
Well, look, it's also Friday. They could decide Devin McCourty might try to show up for practice again tomorrow.
I'm going to go with it, Murray, until Devin McCourty, doesn't show up to practice.
Look, I'm for that.
Until I hear, again, it was pretty clear last week within that Kansas City thing, never mind the Denver game, that it was all reported. The players were ready to stage a revolt, and Bill Belichick had their best interests in mind.
So can I read you a tweet from Phil Perry who just came over?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Ferentz was listed on the hypothetical injury report for Wednesday. He would not have participated that day, and his absence would have been non-injury related. but he did participate yesterday.
So you're going to ask me a question on the air I have no idea what the answer to.
Well, if he wasn't going to participate on Wednesday and it was non-injury related, then why was he back on the field on Thursday if they knew on Wednesday that he had tested? You follow me? Like, why is Phil Perry is suggesting that they might have known on Wednesday that Ferentz was sick.
No, they wouldn't do that. Bill's ahead of everybody else. Don't you know, Maz, that he has invested more time and interest in this than any other coach and has his best players' interests in mind? They would never let a questionable guy back into the facility or back on the field. They wouldn't do that.
Sensing sarcasm.
No, man, just really? A little, Murray.
No. But Newton and Gilmore are available. We got a Lamb coming in this week. Ball's in the air at 1 o'clock Sunday. See ya. I don't think we're going to play a revolt this week. Go ahead, Stu.
So this might not be the player who tested positive.
Okay, here we go.
It might be a player who was in close contact with the player that tested positive.
So you think there's another name coming?
Well, there was a second. They were waiting on a second positive.
No, right. So maybe there is a second.
Maybe there's another lineman coming.
Okay. I don't know. How could Ferentz not practice on Wednesday but practice on Thursday?
But Mark Maskey of the Washington Post.
can we hold on? Can you hit the buzzer at least once for me?
All right, yeah, do it.
Would you please?
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, contrary to what our own Jay Stu just said, Mark Maskey of the Washington Post, why is he getting information?
Others? No, he does. Local? He's dialed.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a good national reporter.
He's good.
Well, either way, he says the Patriots are believed to have only one positive test result today, source says. So the game against the Broncos remains scheduled for Sunday at this point.
Good. Yes. Also, parenthetically.
I'm merely asking the question. I'm merely facilitating.
Understood. And also, parenthetically, just in case you're interested, their best offensive and defensive players available in the team coming in this week sucks.
Yeah.
So the game's on. Kind of easy to want to push back that Kansas City game at the time, don't you think? Or even the next week when you would have been without Newton and Gilmore. Suddenly, player safety, nothing's more important. Now those guys are back, and the Broncos blow, and they're ready to go? Yeah.
tee it up.
Do you see what we're driving at? Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's hard for me not to look at that a little cynically. All right, back to your phones. Here's Spencer in Georgia. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, I think it's kind of crazy with that we're telling NFL football players they have to socially distance when they've been living a lifestyle of a Cardi B music video for most of their adult life. They're looking at it, okay, high-performance athletes seem to be not affected by COVID. No one, not that I know of, any high-performance athletes died from it. You're going to tell a bunch of young men, like, hey, stop the partying atmosphere, stop hanging out with women and all that. That's how these guys are getting it. Has that been covered? I mean, obvious to everyone?
Spencer, I think it's a fair supposition. But I would just disagree that it's a Cardi B video. And not that I could tell you exactly what's in there, but I'm going to guess it's the back of the limo and the whatever nonsense. Like, I think the vast, vast majority of pro athletes are really buttoned down, hardworking guys. I really do. Now, I think there's a percentage that still get after it and are reckless off the field. But I think those guys are in the minority. Okay. So whether that's 20% or 30% or whatever, or 10%, I think the vast majority of guys go home and work hard and all of that because you have to play at that level. So I don't think the entire league is a Cardi B video. But are there 1 in 10, 2 in 10 guys that carry on like that? Yeah, maybe, probably. And is that enough to bring the virus into into your world? Yep, it is.
Oh, definitely it is.
And so can you ask those guys? So I don't think it's an unreasonable ask, though, by the way, to say, you know, it's going to take us 3-4 months to get through this season. You know, if you want your money and we want our money and we want to pull this off, we got to make some adjustments.
So you got to tighten it up.
You can't run around like you used to if you're one of those guys that run around. So I don't think that's an unreasonable ask at all.
Oh, it's not an unreasonable ask. You just can't demand it. I mean, when I say demand it, you know, put in any sort of penalty or...
Oh, you'd have a revolt from the Players Association.
Yeah, you just can't do it, right? It's just so... And this has been my concern from the beginning with any sport that wasn't in a bubble. I mean, if you go into a bubble, you're sort of buying in, right? Like, yeah. The whole idea is you're buying in. Unless you're one of those Nimrods who's trying to sneak someone into the hotel, then you're a jackass. It's like, what'd you even show up for? But the rest of the time, you know, the non-bubble situations, I just think people are going to be people. Well, they're going to do stupid crap.
They are. But that doesn't excuse them, you know? So you can still call them out for their stupid crap. I think, and I also think that the quarterbacks have to be doubly careful. Doubly. not just how important they are on the field to the whole operation, but again, they're in the middle of everything. And so I think those guys have more responsibility. And that's why they get paid more. Now, not Newton. Like, that's he's a minimum guy. But for the most part, that's why that's one of the reasons those guys make more money, is there's more on them. There's more responsibility there. And so never mind the fact that they're in the middle of it all. So I think those guys have to be even more careful and give up more. Eddie in Dorchester on the Brady stuff. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, guys. I wanted to comment on the equivalency of Brady but versus other athletes. And locally, it seems like a lot of people put Brady in the same breath as Michael Jordan, right? And Michael Jordan could dunk from the foul line and smoke a cigar after the game, and the other guy goes to bed before his kids, right? They're both great at their sport, but they're not the same athlete.
Right.
And I noticed locally that the take of that Tom Brady is exactly the same as Jordan, let's say, is the same people that think that being very good at lacrosse is the same thing as being the best basketball player in a city. Not every sport, not every position is the same. But so I wanted to get your take on these people that think, you know, that Tom Brady is any type of athlete equivalent to Jordan.
So athlete, I don't care about. I don't care about it. Like, I don't know.
No, but again, you're interpreting the term athlete literally as someone who is athletic.
A team sport athlete, to me, is the least of it is how fast you run and how high you jump. It's about those other qualities. That's why I watch team sports. If I just cared about the quote-unquote athlete, I'd watch track and field. I've said that a million times. Like, I don't care about the athletic ability. It doesn't interest me. It doesn't. You know, even guys that are hyper, you know, incredibly athletically gifted, I'll watch and go, woo, that was a great play. But it's not what interests me about team sports. It's about that other stuff. And as a competitor, when it comes to that other stuff, Tom Brady is every bit Michael Jordan's equal, if not superior to him.
Yeah, no question. See, I think that guy's taking the term athlete, like, you know, to the literal sense.
So Michael Jordan could jump higher.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yep. Could run faster. He was taller. Hold on. No,
he was a better athlete.
Yeah, who cares?
So what?
They should have a race.
Like, well, right. So that's what this guy's changing the argument. It's not about that. It's about the winning. It's about the winning. When you say athlete is an all-encompassing term. So who are the greatest athletes of the, you know, we're not talking about Terrell Owens, for crying out loud. We're talking about who are the great winners.
Yeah, who would
Who are
win?
The great winners?
Brady or Secretariat. Make them win.
All right. So coming up next, we'll have a member of the Patriots organization weigh in. Hopefully he didn't come in here because, oh, it turns out that team's freaking dirty, man.
Seriously.
It's shedding virus all over the place.
Yeah, and if it works, like, you know, you put a certain amount of virus in a big person, the load's less because it gets diluted, or you put a amount of virus in a small person, it's more concentrated,
so
right?
Coming up next, we're going to...
This guy's a COVID grenade.
Highly concentrated load of virus. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. Bob Soucy, standing by. We'll talk to him next, right after this.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz. Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's Mr. Bob Soucy. He's got hot takes.
Yeah, he was miserable.
And he thinks that Felger and Mazz are just a couple of snakes.
He's Mr. Bob Soucy. He's 5 foot fun.
5'2".
Here comes a take that'll scorch you like the sun.
It's so good. It's time to chill with Bob Soucy.
A pussycat.
Heat so hot. takes so hot, we call him the Heat Miser. But he is the play-by-play announcer for the Patriots Radio Network. He's brought to you by Coors Light. Crack open an ice-cored Coors Light and chill. Coors Light, made for football, made to chill. Bob usually comes in with a problem with us from stuff he's heard during the week. What's the problem today, Bob?
Oh, my God. Where do you want to start? Well, let me start, first of all.
Keep your distance, Bob. Keep your distance. Don't get too close. Go ahead.
I want to start with a message. Mr. Bedard, you could not be more correct. Right you are, sir, and it doesn't matter which chair it is. You are right, sir.
So I don't know what Bedard said.
Oh, no. Bedard's old man said I was an a-hole. Remember? That's what he was getting
at. Oh, the real Mr. Bedard.
Yeah, exactly right. Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead,
the real Mr. Bedard.
So that's number one. What's number two?
Well, look, I mean, we're talking about a serious subject matter here. So, you know, with all the levity aside of the Heat Miser and all that, there's a lot of different things that we could cover. I want to start with a couple of things because I brought this up last week in the email chain. And I have my notes from an interview with Dr. Tom Marries, the chief medical advisor for the NFLPA. These were from an interview with Sirius XM NFL Radio just a couple of days before the ink was dry and the final protocols between the NFL and the Players Association when training camp began. And I want to bring some of these things up because I think it really informs the perspective of players who you would agree, I think, have long had a level of mistrust when it comes to the NFL regarding medical issues and player safety.
Yes,
whether or not the players were certainly the NFL had the safety of the players foremost in their decisions, whether it's brain injuries and the long lasting effects of those, the side effects of painkillers, the effects of playing games on Thursday night. So there's been a level of mistrust there for a long time, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. So what Dr. Mayer pointed out a few days before the final protocols were determined is that there were a lot of fundamental questions that really had gone unanswered. What will it take to shut the league down? What's the threshold? You know, what are we going to do? What's it going to take, you know, if a team loses an entire offensive line? Circumstances that a team could not play under, and he had not gotten an answer to that point. Maybe those questions weren't answered. But I think over the course of time, it appears as though some of those questions have gone unanswered. You know, you had players in the final hours, again, before preseason, a training camp began, fighting for daily testing. They had to fight for daily testing. And of course, they didn't have it on game days. But you know, that's certainly something that the players really had to go hard for. And thankfully, they have it. But as we've learned, not having the test on game day to this point, which is changing, of course, now, you know, has been a loophole. Players were upset about the league trying to shorten the opt-out window. We heard from Devin McCourty in a very strong way on that subject hours before he reported to the team facility for training camp. And also at the same time, when the schedule was announced going back earlier, you know, there was this idea that there was going to be built-in flexibility. Yeah, you know, every team that plays in week two is going to have the same bye week. We could easily flip those first four games, people said, to the back end of the schedule and delay it. I'm not advocating for, you know, a pause or a reset right now. Like, it's to my benefit that they play games. My livelihood depends on the NFL playing games. But there was the idea that there was going to be a lot of schedule flexibility. And it seems to me that what we've seen over the course of the training camps and thus far in this season is that, look, these teams spared no expense, went to great length to try to keep the virus out of their facilities. The NFL's gambit in this case of staging a season without a bubble in a pandemic really hinged on the ability to keep the virus from spreading in a team set. And primarily the way to do that was to keep it out of the facility with all the various protocols and all the extra measures, from plexiglass to distancing to remote work, the virtual work that the players have done. But they really never answer those fundamental questions of how they would handle situations when the virus had breached the protocols.
So
the virus had been brought into their buildings, been brought into the team settings.
All right. So I got it. I mean, and I feel for him there, Bob. So how
come, like, you know, Jason McCourty said last week, that's congruent with what Devin McCourty said going back to the end of July.
How do they feel today?
Well, this is the thing to me too, Mike. You know, and it's not that the league caused the Patriots players to test positive and the spread of the virus, but let's backtrack week three, the Titans have a game that they play, or they postpone a game because the week before they have an assistant coach who's pulled off the trip. They go to Minnesota anyway, and the next thing you know, you have an outbreak that's out of control. And it really takes 2 weeks, in essence, to get it under control. Well, in that same period of time, now the Patriots have this problem arise before their Kansas City trip. And you have at least 20 players who've had close and extended contact, at least enough extended contact and close enough with the infected player, Cam Newton, that the team takes the step to have an extra plane travel those players to Kansas City on the day of the game.
So Bob, NFL, I've got all this. You've got like 90 seconds left.
They rolled the dice.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, you have 90 seconds left. So you got to get like, what's your point?
Well, my point is, you guys are saying the Patriots, people are blaming. I'm just trying to the mindset of the players, and I think why people are upset with the league, or at least questioning the league, goes back to a lot of these questions that have gone unanswered. It's not that people are looking, saying that the league screwed the Patriots, and and with regards to Belichick and the timeline in terms of, I'm not getting ready to award him the Nobel Prize. That's not what anybody's trying to do here. But they took the step before the game was postponed with the Broncos, 48 hours before they were scheduled to play, to shut the facility down. So they deserve credit for that. They deserve credit today from what's been reported. They possibly could have been out there practicing. They did not. They've been trying to contain it. They've been trying to do their best. With regards to the report that, one word in a sentence by Adam Schefter spotted, has led to all kinds of conclusions. We don't know whether there was any egregious or gross negligence on the part of Cam Newton or Stephon Gilmore. The league banned gatherings the night of the Patriots Chiefs game. That's when they banned gatherings, I think three or more. What if it was, and I don't know what took place, nor do you. But I think it'd be nice to have a little more depth and detail before we create
right,
this narrative.
On both sides, exactly.
Entire week of programming,
Bob, that
blaming a player?
No, that's exactly my point. We should get more details before we start treating Bill Belichick like Florence Nightingale, to use Maz's line.
I think the other side,
Bob, has gone way too far on the other side without any information about how the virus was introduced into their building. They've been worse than we are. At least there's someone looking at it like us from the other side of it, because there is another side. No one knows. So the whole thing about, Bill's done this and that, what if his players were irresponsible? It's possible, is it not?
Mike, it's possible that there was a lapse here or there.
Thank you.
That led to it.
That's it.
Just as there could be in our work setting. You
of
know
course.
That.
Yes.
You're putting your faith in Tony's putting his faith in you, just as I do.
Absolutely.
Our broadcast booth.
Absolutely. No, but people don't put that on Bill around here. It's like, oh, he's way ahead of the curve. He's doing research that no one else has done, and he's put more into this than any other guy, and they're jumping to that whole other conclusion. So
let's not exaggerate what people are saying. I mean,
I don't think I am. I don't think I am. The glowing stories and reports and commentary on Belichick this week has been through the roof, Bob.
Well, I think a couple of things too. I value the words of some of those players, and when you hear from the McCourties, or you hear from an Adrian Phillips crediting Bill, maybe their perspective is informed by the fact that they have spouses who are doctors. And then in the case of Devin and Adrian Phillips, maybe, they do respect the extra steps and appreciate the steps that Bill has taken. It's the players who are saying that. That's how we looked at it.
So they were outraged last week. Where's their outrage level today? I'm just curious about that. Have we heard any rumblings of player revolts or not going to play this one or anything like that?
I don't know about outrage. I think, when we talk about outrage and revolts, I think we're losing sight of the fact that this is all born out of concern. And I don't want to put words in the players' mouths and say fear, but there's grave concern when it comes to it. This is an epidemic that's claimed over 200,000 lives in this country, 8 million cases of the coronavirus. The rates are spiking across the country, as we know. I mean, there are a lot of questions about where the league goes from here.
All right. I mean, that didn't really answer the question. Last week, they were threatening to boycott the game.
You want to make it about outrage and revolt. Well, let's remember, at the root of everything they're saying, at the root of everything they're thinking, is concern.
Okay, so they felt very, very concerned last week. I'm asking you, what's their? Is it very, very concerned right now?
I would imagine so. I talked to one person today. I mean, this has all transpired in just a short time. I was in the middle of talking to a class at a local college when one of the students broke the news to me just a short time ago. So I think probably again, player, that's the thing going back to the Kansas City weekend. I mean, the mindset, a lot of these players had concerns going into this. You know, when they talked to us before training camp started, you know, they were trying to make a decision whether to opt in or opt out, you know, based to that point on only virtual experience. When they got in there, maybe there was some relief and confidence and they felt safe. But as we've seen, despite all the efforts and all the money, and having been down at Gillette, it is remarkable what the teams have done, how the teams have invested to try to keep people safe and to mitigate the risk. You know, there is still, you know, a situation where guys are still turning up positive. So I can only imagine today, once again, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of doubt, and especially concern.
Okay. Bob, thanks for the time, as always. But Maz, I'm sorry, hey, I hogged that one.
No, don't sweat it. All good. No problem, Bob. We'll see you soon.
We look forward to listening to your call Sunday at 1 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Game's still on, okay? So you'll hear Bob and Zolak on that. Thanks again. Here's a quick update from Murray, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday. Everything's on the table. Robin Ford has been waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on, Rob, on the Patriots. What do you got?
Yeah, so I called in on Monday and you guys dropped my call because I was telling you that the NFL really didn't know the protocol for the COVID. But anyways, Maz, let me get to what you first stated at the top of the show was about forfeiting games because of COVID. You are crazy, because if you think I want to watch the Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs, you are outside your mind.
So, I mean, I think it was just brought up in the – I mean, I bring it up in the context of if your team was totally clean and you've had to, you know, postpone a game against an opponent that keeps turning up these positive tests, I don't know, what would you be saying? We're playing the game or you're forfeiting. We can't wait around for you. That's what you would be saying.
Yeah, just be consistent is all.
If the Broncos were the opponent and the Broncos were the team that, you know, couldn't clear this thing, that's what you'd be saying about them. That's all I know. That's what I'd be saying.
I don't know what I said at the beginning of the show. I don't think I said that the Patriots should forfeit. If I said that, then forgive me. Because what I said was maybe you reach a point where you give a team an option. Where they get to look at it and the league says, what do you want to do? You want to play or do you not want to play? And the team could say, you know what? In the long run, maybe we're better off taking the bullet. We're taking the forfeit in the short term. We'll give us 2 weeks to get our house in order, get everybody clean, pass our tests, and then we'll return to the field and we're 100%. We're ready to go for the rest of the year. There might be an advantage in that. I don't know. That's all I said.
You shut down that facility, though, for 2 weeks. It gives you a lot of time to go hat shopping, have dinners.
Does it open up more? Right.
Yeah. Right. So that is Murray raised a good point.
It's a fair point.
I mean, now you're all of a sudden, you're taking the fence down, and all of a sudden everybody can run wild.
EJ in New Hampshire on this topic. Go ahead, EJ.
Well, let me first start off by saying, like, I'm not a big bubble guy, but it felt great. It always sticks in my head how often you've talked about the NFL loves owning the schedule, the draft, the combine, the Hall of Fame game, whatever. They want property every month out of the year. They missed an awesome opportunity. Take the 32, divide them by four, put them in L.A., San Francisco, Miami, Charlotte, whatever. And they could own 4 days a week. Put, you know, space out the games in each stadium. Football on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They would have killed the ratings. Had the happy medium between the bubble. They just would have had to rip up the schedule, say, screw it. We're going to throw that schedule away. We'll do it next year. 8 teams per city, and let's own the whole weekend front and back.
Okay, so I don't know exactly what, you know, like a 50-yard field goal for 4 points. Like, I don't know exactly what he was talking about there. Should the league have done more, Matt? Should it have been a more creative schedule with a more of a nod to a bubble or neutral sites or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, the league should have had some foresight to say we're going to have this issue, because I think we all knew they were going to have positive tests. So the question I have isn't even bubble related. It's more, and I've heard other people talk about this, so I don't want to pass the idea off as my own. Why not have, like, you know, a break every other week or something, or have to, you know, make the season longer, first of all, so that you're not trying to cram it into its regular size. And you have half the league play on 1 week, half the league play the next week, and you rotate, and it takes, you know, 32 weeks or 33 weeks or whatever it is, and you're building in breaks along the way so that you have time to make up games if you have to. Fine. Like, I've heard lots of people give different scenarios like this, and I thought, well, that makes some sense. Now, I suppose that would get screwed up, too, on some level.
But, you know, without digging too deep into it, just it is interesting to think that the NFL really, for all intents and purposes, did nothing.
Correct. All they did was go with their normal schedule.
I mean, there was just little minor tweaks there where, like, division teams had the same bye week or something like that. They had a few little minor things like that, but not to the point where they didn't have to just reschedule eight different teams on eight different weeks. Like, they did not really do anything.
Mike, they needed to stretch out the schedule and build in breaks. That's what they needed to do. They needed to schedule it out. It can't be 17 weeks this time. It's got to be 25 or whatever the number is. I'm not smart enough to do the math.
Agenda Free Friday, everything on the board. Couple of Bruins thoughts here. David New Bedford, go first.
Yes, I saw this week that both Pastrnak and Marchand may not be able to go for the start of the year, and I wondered what your thoughts are on that, and who do you think will play on the first line while they're out?
Okay, David, thank you for the call. How about Max and Cohasset? What's your Bruins thought?
I'm up a wall with Sweeney. When I heard he reached in the second round, I wanted to throw my head against the wall because he lost all credibility after 2015. And number two, he's become so complacent. They'll make the playoffs. They'll win a round or two for the next few years. They're not going to win a championship, and they're going to keep this core together, which, I'm sorry, has underachieved. And he's treating them like the Blackhawks, and they're just not. He needs to shake things up.
Okay. Is this Bruins core underachieved? Or is this just what they are?
No, I think it's pretty much what they are.
They should have had that other one.
Well, so, like, again, I keep giving it to the Bruins fans and Bruins media. You got to pick one. Either they've underachieved, or Bergeron's not as good as you've been telling me. Like, you've got to pick one. Because if Bergeron was what you're saying, then they've underachieved. Or you've overrated him. It's like one of the two. I mean, so, and I could say the same thing for Krejci or Chara or Rask or the whole thing. If these guys are as good as you've been telling me, then they choked. Or it's possible they're just not as good as you've been telling me, but you got to pick one.
See, I think they have a lot of very good players.
I think they have. Look, they should have beaten St. Louis in that game 7, but really, at the end of the day, they're just a pretty good team. They're not a great one.
Yeah, to me, there's sort of that line there. Again, I always say very good versus great. Like, you know, so you're a B+, A-, but you're not an AA+.
And Sweeney's moves so far this offseason have guaranteed you will remain right there.
What moves?
Well, right. I mean, adding a third liner and letting your best power play guy go, it's like just sort of guarantee, but bringing everyone else back sort of guarantees you'll be right there in that ish sort of, you know, one of the best ish kind of teams in the league for another year, but not a championship team. So I feel the frustration. I'd feel better about a reset. You just get younger and flush out some of these guys that have been here for well over a decade. You've got five of them who've been here forever. It's like, can you move on from some of them?
I mean, right now they've lost both of their top four defensemen on the left side.
So the frustration with Sweeney, I feel, in terms of losing Marchand and Pastrnak to begin the year, I don't care. Like, I don't think that doesn't bother me. Even if they're out a month or two, don't fall too far out of it. Come back and second half push into the playoffs. Like, what does it matter if they're going to miss the first couple months?
Well, what worries me about Pastrnak is the injury, right? Hip, labrum, 25-year-old guy, 26-year-old guy, whatever he is, and validates what we thought about him during the postseason. Like, there was something wrong there in his, you know, mid or lower body that was affecting his skating, his shot, everything. Hip injuries scare me. They scare me.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're looking forward to getting back on the field today. We had certainly a lot of meeting time, WebEx meetings, and you know, things like that. But it's always important to get back on the field and to start to rebuild some of our fundamentals and execution that are so critical. So you know, we'll look forward to that today and tomorrow and throughout the week. And you know, look forward to to playing on Sunday as well. So you know, we continue to press forward with as much safety and vigilance as possible in our whole approach to football and all the things that surround it, our families and the safety of everyone involved here, players, staff, organization, and so forth. So we learn things every day, and we continue to try to take steps to put everybody's safety at the very top of the list, and at the same time, try to accommodate the competitiveness that or competitive aspects that we need to perform on the field. So it's definitely a balance there, but we've got to put first things first.
Sounds Belichick yesterday again, stressing the health and well-being of his players and all of that. What was that Phil Perry tweet again, Naz, about Ferentz being ineligible on Wednesday but practicing? Yeah, so this again, this was Belichick yesterday. They canceled practice today.
Right. Ferentz was on the, what would have been the injury report on Wednesday and would not have participated for a non-football related matter. But he was on the field yesterday. So if this was a COVID thing on Wednesday, then what's he doing out on the field on Thursday?
Is that the implication?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying what Perry tweeted. But today, Ferentz has announced as having tested positive, and he's out. Right? He's on the COVID list. So they've confirmed that, which, did someone screw up there in the middle? Did they put him on the field when they weren't supposed to? Were other guys now exposed to it who otherwise wouldn't have been because he was out on the field with them? Or Monday or Wednesday, was he feeling sick and they said, hold him out? His test came back negative. No, put him out there. And then now he tests positive. I'm asking. I don't know. So I just find the timeline to be odd.
And I do find the timing. It's hard not to be cynical. I'm sorry. Last week, they had a late positive in the week, and there was a player revolt. There was. Sorry, Bob Soucy. There was. There was all sorts of indications that players were threatening not to play the game and didn't want to play the game, and Bill was getting their back and supporting the players and, was being super supportive. And that timed out with the game in which they would have had to play without their starting quarterback and their best defensive player. Now their starting quarterback and best defensive players are back. They've had another late COVID in the week, and I'm not quite hearing the outrage there from the players that I heard last week. Never mind Bill getting their back, and I don't feel any threatened boycotts coming now. Feels like it's full steam ahead. We're playing Sunday at 1. It's easy to say full steam ahead and play the game when you have your best players. When you don't have your best players, it's also a convenient time to say, maybe we should push this back. And I wonder if that's just at play. That's all. It's hard not for me to draw a line between the two.
Yeah, now look, it's Friday. We got 2 more days to go here. Devin McCourty didn't show up for practice on Saturday. So maybe the same thing happens now. And come Sunday, all of a sudden, it's going to postpone the game. So this thing has been obviously really fluid from the very beginning. But Bill's been here 20 years. Okay? He cares so much about football and winning that anytime he talks about something else that doesn't put that first, he's hard to believe. So I I always wonder with him if there's an ulterior motive.
Okay,
that's all.
Back to your calls here on Agenda Free Friday. Everything's on the table. Jake's in Boston. Go, Jake.
Hey, boys. I want to thank you
for doing the Lord's work this week on and on amplifying the COVID cam, reporting on the hat shopping, the flying home on the private jets, and demanding accountability down in Foxborough. Good work. It's ultimately this team's fault. It's not the league's fault. They should be putting everyone on lockdown in the Renaissance West without the wives, the girlfriends, the kids, the fashion consultants for the rest of the season. And if this happens again and they don't do that, forfeit the game. Now, if only you guys can apologize to Tom Brady, who hasn't gotten COVID despite daring the virus on his own. Why has he been immune, and why isn't he getting some praise there?
I mean, just think about it. The Buccaneers have gotten through this cleaner than you have.
That team.
Scary, right?
I mean,
maybe his Protect works at $59.99 a jar.
I wonder. And Jake, I'm not demanding accountability. I just can't take the ball washing. I can't accept the team playing the victim or blaming the league or a locker room. Never mind the lionization of Bill Belichick as being so far ahead of the curve and so detail oriented on this and so far ahead of other coaches. When it's his team that is forcing the cancellation and the postponements of the games, and it's his quarterback to be the only quarterback to test positive in the entire league, it's just, I can't take it. So I just don't want to hear the victimization, but I'm not demanding accountability. I mean, just stop with this. Who am I? Chris in the car on a big topic this week, the death of baseball. Chris, go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thank you very much. Happy Friday. Mari, loved your take. It wasn't about the Aaron 17 years ago, but it was about, you know, just the death of baseball. Because I was thinking about the Chicago Cubs. They won a World Series. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that that is also the end
yes.
of their
yeah.
run?
Yep.
And what?
Yes, let me just stop you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I said it at the time, too. It's the worst thing that could have happened to baseball, because they were the last one.
It was the last BOFO highly rated World Series.
Yep.
And the last one you'll ever have.
Have we talked about the Cubs with the same type of interest since?
Nope. Hell no.
No. No, we haven't. Again, so yes, it's absolutely true. There's no question about it.
And the Indians don't count either, because people will sometimes try to make that counter. No one's ever really cared about the Cleveland Indians.
People don't care about the Indians. They don't. They cared about you.
And the Cubs.
And your, you know, record of futility and the curse of the Bambino and all that, you know, nonsense. And the Cubs thing. And that's it. There's no one left. They don't care that the Padres have never won, or the Brewers have never won, or the Indians haven't won since whenever. You know, there's the Rays have never won, and the Nash, you know, whatever. Like, no one cares.
No, which is why I would now like to create a couple like the Dodgers. As long as they keep, if the Dodgers could lose for the next 60 years, then we would have a story.
Okay.
I'm in on that.
Yeah, it's an Agenda Free Friday, which is driven by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. The very latest on the Patriots and their latest COVID case, what that means for Sunday's game. Murray, get you updated on all of that right here. It takes only 90 seconds. There are no commercials, and we're right back with your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.